In order for the Word of God to be living and real in our lives, we must believe the Scriptures. In other words, we must put our faith, our trust, and our confidence in the Bible as being the Word of God. And when we do that, the Bible will become real to us. It will no longer simply be a book. It will no longer simply be words on a page. But instead, the words within the book will become living and real within you and within me. In order to do this, then, we need to begin by properly understanding and then applying the Bible within our lives. In this tape, we're going to do that. We're going to learn how to do that, first of all, by focusing on the nature, the origin, and the purpose of Scripture. Then, by looking at our responsibility towards the Scriptures. That is, how are we as individual people to understand the Bible, and then how are we to put it into practice within our lives? To begin with, then, I'd like to ask you to take your Bible and to turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to begin here with a verse which we've already looked at within the first tape. However, we're going to look at it in more detail here because this verse is absolutely fundamental to our understanding of the origin, the nature, and the purpose of Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, we read, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Within these two verses of Scripture, we see, first of all, the origin or the source of Scripture. That is, that it is God-breathed, or it is inspired by God. Secondarily, we see the nature of Scripture. That is, that it is the God-breathed Scripture. It is the Word of God. And then thirdly, we see the purpose of the Scriptures. That purpose being to enable us to be trained in righteousness so that we can be equipped within this life for every good work. The Scriptures then speak concerning themselves. They give testimony concerning themselves as to how they came about, as to what their nature is, and then what their purpose is. In verse 16, we read, "All Scripture is God-breathed." This is the Greek word theopneustos, that is God-breathed, theopneustos. And what this means is that the Scripture is inspired by God. The Scripture is inspired by God. That's why we say that the Bible is the Word of God. As the Scriptures were originally given, they were the inspired Word of God. When holy men originally wrote them down, they were the original inspired Word of God. Therefore, when we read the Scriptures, when we understand them properly, we know that we are reading the Word of God, and it is therefore authoritative to us and for us today. And then we see that the purpose of the Scripture is given to us. First, we see that the Scripture is useful, or it is profitable. All Scripture is useful and profitable. In other words, the Bible is not simply a book of history. It is not simply a book of literature, nor is it a book designed to explain to us science or math or any other field. Instead, it is a book which is useful or profitable for teaching us about life, how to live and understand the moral and spiritual aspects of this life in which we live. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching us, rebuking us, correcting us, and training us in righteousness. When we see here the word training, we need to understand that this word training in the original Greek is the Greek word paideo. And the word paideo was used within the Greek culture of that time to indicate the education of a child, the process by which a child grew and was educated within the culture and life in which he lived at that time. And it involves both teaching, rebuking, and correcting. just as when you train your child today. The Bible is to us that which trains us or educates us in all of the moral and spiritual aspects of life that we need to know. It is what gives us a spiritual education, just as if we were children. The Bible gives us the instruction or the education which we need. And it does this by teaching us. That is, it teaches us how we are to live this life. It teaches us what we are to believe within this life. And then it rebukes us. That is, it reproves us. In other words, it shows us when we are believing and living in a wrong way, in a way in which is contrary to God's will and desire. And then thirdly, it corrects us. It brings us back to living and believing correctly, so that we can live and know that we are doing God's will. All of this together, then, is training or instruction in righteousness. It is training in the right way of living and believing within this life. And then verse 17 says that the purpose of all of this is so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The purpose of being educated in the Scriptures is so that we can be thoroughly equipped. That is, so that we can have all that we need within this life, so as to be ready for any situation which this life can bring. And when we have that spiritual education, that education within God's Word, then we can be equipped as a soldier is equipped for battle, or as an athlete is equipped for a game or contest. You and I within this life can be equipped for any situation in this life, and then we can carry out every good work within it. This then is the origin of Scripture. It comes from God. And then the nature of Scripture. Scripture is the inspired Word of God. And then its purpose is to educate us by teaching us, reproving us, correcting us in every moral and spiritual aspect of our lives, so that we can be trained in righteousness, in the right way for believing and living within this life. When we have all of this within our lives, then we will be equipped for every situation which this life can bring, and thus able to carry out God's will within our lives. Turn over now to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Just go forward a few books within your Bible, because the book of Hebrews is a book which has some information regarding how the Scriptures came about. And this is information which is necessary for us in understanding, so that we, when we come to the Bible, can know how to properly read it and then understand it within our lives. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, speaking concerning the Word of God. It says in verse 1, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things." This is speaking regarding the Word of God. First of all, we read that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers. That's speaking of the Old Testament times, how God in the past spoke to the children of Israel, and He spoke to them through the Old Testament prophets. That is, He spoke to them through Abraham. He spoke to them through Moses, through Samuel, through David, through Isaiah or Jeremiah, the various prophets of the Old Testament times. And He spoke to them at many different times and in various ways. The Bible which you and I have is a Bible which was put together over many different centuries. In other words, the Word of God came to the children of Israel as well as to other people in the Old Testament times, at different times, in different historical periods. And it came to them in many different ways. One prophet would speak to the children of Israel at one time in one specific manner, and then another at another time and in another specific manner. Within the Old Testament, we have many different types of literature, many different ways in which God revealed himself and spoke to the people of the Old Testament times. And then we see here also that in the last days, verse 2, God has spoken to us by his Son. This speaking of God to us by way of his Son, by way of Jesus Christ, is recorded within the Gospels. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see how Jesus Christ came to be the ultimate revelation of God to God's people. The greatest possible communication of God and his will being expressed to his people. Jesus Christ was the great revelation or the expression, the communication of God to his people. And this is recorded within those Gospels. All of the Bible is God's Word. All of it is the inspired Word of God. And yet, it was given to us as God's people in different times and in different ways. And in order for us to properly understand the Scriptures, we have to take account of the various historical periods, to the different groups of people to whom it was originally spoken, and the different historical, cultural, and language context in which it was given. The Bible is God's Word, and yet it must be understood as being written to different people and different times at different cultural and historical periods in the history of the world. Turn over now to the book of 2 Peter. Again, just go over a couple of books nearer to the end of your Bible. The book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Because we've seen that the Bible says of itself that it is God-breathed, that it is the inspired Word of God, and that it is profitable for us. It teaches us about life, that which we need to be equipped within this life so that we can carry out God's will. And now we've also seen that it was given, that is, this Bible, the Scriptures which we have, were given by God to God's people at different times, in different historical periods, in different contexts of world history, and in different ways. And we need to understand the Scriptures in accordance with that understanding of the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we see some very specific information as to how this inspired Word of God was given by those prophets of old. And beginning in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 20, we read, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation." No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. Whenever you and I read the word prophecy within the Bible, we have to understand it in its biblical sense. Because today when we hear the word prophecy, we think of telling about the future, foretelling the future. Prophecy, however, within the Bible simply means to speak forth the Word of God. And it can relate to past events, present events, or future events. Anytime a prophet within the Old Testament or within the New Testament spoke forth the Word of God, it was prophecy. That is, it was the speaking forth of the Word of God. And the words here, prophecy of Scripture, simply are speaking concerning the speaking forth of the Word of God. The speaking forth of that God-breathed Word. And this is how we must understand it within the Bible. And it says in verse 20 that above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. The Greek words here simply mean that the prophecy of Scripture did not come about by the prophet's own personal making it up. In other words, the prophet did not sit down and say to himself, I think I'll write this. I think I'll say this, and this will be the word of God. No. Verse 21 says, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. That is, the word of God, that God-breathed word, never had its origin in the will of man. Instead, its origin was in God because it was God-breathed, inspired by God. And then that's what the rest of the verse here says. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is how the word of God came about. It came about as men of God spoke as they were carried along. The meaning of that simply is as they were inspired. Inspired by God. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Bible which we have today is a translation. But originally, when the Word of God was originally given, it was given by men of God who spoke and wrote it as they were inspired by God, as they were inspired or carried along by that Holy Spirit. This does not mean that the Spirit of God came upon a man and controlled him and made him write in a mechanical fashion, so to speak, or made him speak in a mechanical fashion. It simply means that the Spirit of God within that person inspired that person, so that that person, when he spoke, he was speaking or he was writing what God desired for that person to write. This is how you and I got the Word of God. Therefore, the Bible is God-breathed. It is inspired by God, and yet it was written by men. And since it was written by men, it was written in a language which you and I can understand. It was written in the figures of speech, the idioms of the time in which that person lived. And it was written according to the cultural and historical and geographical understanding of the person who spoke or wrote that word of God. Thus, the word of God which we have is God-breathed. It is inspired by God. And yet, it was spoken and written by men. And therefore, it is written according to their cultural, historical, and language context and understanding. This is a great key for us, then, in understanding correctly the Bible as the Word of God. Turn over now to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy. Just back up a few books. Back to the book of 2 Timothy. Because it's absolutely vital in our understanding that when we come to the Bible, that we understand it properly, that we approach it properly. We can't come to it with preconceived notions or ideas. We must let the Bible speak for itself. We must understand it according to how it presents itself to us. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, we have some very basic information concerning our responsibility to the Scriptures, to the Word of God, the Word of truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Verse 15 here of 2 Timothy says that we are to do our best, to do our best to present ourselves to God. Now this originally was written to Timothy. Timothy, a minister of God to God's people. But its application is just as applicable to us today when we come to the Scriptures as well. Because the same attitude is always necessary for anyone who comes to the Word of God. And that is, we need to do our best to properly understand it. Verse 15 again says, do your best. That is, The Greek word here means give diligent effort. Do your absolute best to present yourself to God as one approved. And how are we to do that? As a workman who does not need to be ashamed. We are to diligently study God's word as a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. The Greek words behind the English words correctly handle are the Greek word, is one Greek word. It is a compound Greek word, and it's the Greek word orthotomounta. And literally, it means rightly dividing, a right cutting or dividing. In other words, if you are going to saw a board and it has to fit so as to be a door within your door frames, you have to make sure it fits correctly. And therefore, those boards which you're cutting have to be cut exactly right so as to fit within that door frame. This is the idea that's being conveyed here, that when we come to the word of truth, we must cut it accurately. That is, we must understand it properly, correctly. And the implication here is that there is only one correct way to understand the word of truth, that being the way in which it was originally meant to be understood. The Bible is God-breathed. Its source is God. Its origin is with God. It is inspired by God. And thus, when you and I study it, we must endeavor to understand it the way God originally desired and meant for it to be understood when those holy men of God spoke and wrote as they were moved or inspired by that Holy Spirit. This is the great goal of biblical study. It is to correctly understand the word of truth. The Bible is the word of truth, but it is only the true word to you and to I when we correctly understand it. Therefore, we must come to it with humility, we must come to it with meekness, and we must come to it as workmen who are endeavoring to properly understand it as it was originally meant to be understood, so that we can believe it and then correctly apply it and put it into practice within our lives. This is the goal of biblical study. It is the goal for reading and understanding the scriptures, so that we can be workmen who do not need to be ashamed, so that we can be approved before God within our lives because we have studied the word of God, we know that we correctly understand it, and then we know that we can carry it out within our lives. Turn now to the book of Acts chapter 11, because I'd like for us to look within the New Testament to see an example of how the early first century church applied this within their own lives, how they came to the word of God with humility and with meekness and endeavored to search it out, to properly understand it so that they could know the word of truth and so that they could believe it and live it within their lives. Acts chapter 17 gives us a record of this. And I'd like first to begin within Acts chapter 17 in verse 1. This here is a record concerning the Apostle Paul, how he had gone through the region of the then known world, which is now in present day Greece. And he had gone to the synagogues of the Jewish people there to present to them from the Old Testament scriptures the understanding concerning Jesus Christ. And beginning in verse 1, we read, "When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue." This is speaking of Paul and his companions. They had gone through Amphipolis and Apollonia, two cities within what is today present-day Greece. And they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. The Jewish synagogue was a meeting place for the Jewish people of those days, where they would come together to study the Old Testament scriptures and to worship God. In verse 2 it says, as his, that is, as Paul's custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures. Paul went into these Jewish people and he reasoned with them from the scriptures. That is, he expounded to them from the scriptures. He went to them to the Word of God and he showed them within the scriptures the message which he wanted to convey to them. He explained it to them. He reasoned with them to help them to understand. He reasoned with them from the scriptures. Verse 3, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Paul went to the scriptures, the inspired word of God, and he explained to them about the Old Testament Christ, or the Messiah, the one who had been prophesied within the Old Testament to come and to be the Savior of God's people. So it says he explained and he proved that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, and that this Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. Verse 4, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. When Paul explained to these people the scriptures, he explained it to them in a way which they could understand. And when the people saw that what Paul said was true, some of them were persuaded. They believed that word of God concerning Jesus Christ, and therefore they continued with Paul and his companions. However, a certain group of these people did not believe those scriptures, and instead they opposed the Apostle Paul. They opposed him and his companions and raised up a persecution against Paul and expelled him from the city. That is, the believers sent him away so as to not be harmed by these people. Verse 10. Therefore, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea, another town there within that area. On arriving there, they went into the Jewish synagogue. That is, again, they went to that Jewish meeting place so as to be able to teach these Jewish people the scriptures concerning Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Now the Bereans, the people there in that synagogue, were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. For these people received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. These people heard what the Apostle Paul said, and they examined those scriptures. They searched them out to see if what Paul was teaching was true. They endeavored to rightly divide those scriptures, to properly understand them, and to properly put them into practice in their lives. They wanted to know, is what he is teaching, is this the word of truth? Is it the true word? And then, as a result of that, as a result of their studying those scriptures, as a result of their searching those scriptures out, verse 12 says, therefore, many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. The result of Paul coming to this synagogue and sharing the word of God with them from the scriptures was that these people went to those same scriptures and they searched out this word of God to see if the things which Paul was saying to them were true. When they saw from the scriptures that this was true, that Jesus was indeed the Christ, that he was indeed the Savior of all mankind, they believed that scripture. They believed it as being the word of truth, and thus they were able to receive the benefit of their believing.